Let me fuck with it. Jay Dilla remix. SpaceX featuring Frank and Dang. Bounce with it, nigga, bounce. Yeah. Turn it up, y'all. Turn it up, love. Yeah.
'Cause I need you.
Yeah.
Why the leaves do not know how it scares me. Try as I may, but I want to stay away. It makes no sense to me.
Turn it up.
Look at it this way, 'cause this is a strange way.
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have another beautiful roundtable in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Black Is team members Chris Layman, Toria Williams, John Wood, and special guests Brother T, Craig Stewart, who is a writer, Ivy Lindsay, who is an actor, Eve, not the rapper, and John Byrd III of Sickly Cat Magazine. And tonight's topic is homosexuality in the Black community. And my subtopic for this is, what are we afraid of? And the reason why I made that my subtopic is because I thought about, I guess, how I was raised to view homosexuality. I definitely was not raised to hate people, but I was raised to stay away from homosexuality. I grew up in a very strict, conservative, religious household. I always felt that what I was being taught was slightly contradictory. One, because I was also taught that Jesus loves everybody. So it was almost like this weird dichotomy. I'm supposed to love everybody, but I'm kind of supposed to stay away from these people and this experience over here. Two, I had a relative who I'm not going to name who was gay, and he had other issues. And so it was like all of his issues were merged into one. It was like, oh, yeah, he's gay and he has this problem and that problem, as if they were like a package deal. And he died prematurely, lonely, unhappy man. And I felt like my heart broke when he died. My relationship with him completely changed my view about homosexuality. And it's funny, my family, well, my grandmother at least, I don't know, something about getting older, something about getting into your 80s. Old folks get this sort of we don't give a shit kind of mindset after a while. And my granny is 10 times more open about things now than she was 20 years ago. And so, you know, she'll talk about having met somebody who was gay at the gym and how that's her friend. And it's still a thing for her. But, you know, once upon a time, that would have been something she would have shied away from because she is a Christian woman. And for her, that goes against her religion. And so that's why I put it out there. I feel like the fear that our community tends to have, because for a long time, you know, gay people, Black people are not gay. We don't do that in our community. Or if you did it, you didn't talk about it. It was very, very hush hush. And now we're dealing with these issues of Black women being some of the highest, having some of the highest rates of HIV, and the whole issue of Black men being on the down low, and all these other situations that are happening. I feel like if we were more open and embracing of people and their choices, we would not have these issues as much as we do. I think they've run rampant now because there's so many secrets. So, with that.
I think when you talk about fear in general, this is Ivy Lindsay. I think when you talk about fear in general, it leaves room for unnecessary casualties or people who just want their existence to be accepted in whatever regard that is, if they're not hurting anybody. But as far as in the Black community, I feel like Black or gay or people who are openly gay in the Black community have contributed a lot to Black people, I mean the Black community in general, that it's almost, I don't know, disrespectful to just disregard them based on what they do in their personal lives.
And I've kind of had a different experience, and I had this conversation with a friend the other night, that being in Los Angeles is a different ballgame, because from a very young age, I just was accepting of gay. And because of California being such an open, liberal place, even in middle school, you know, it wasn't a big deal. In fact, if you were the kid that was like, ooh, they're gay, you kind of got the look like, dude, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. And I think as you move from place to place, like down south might not be as friendly and open to it. But California has always been a different, I mean, I can't remember at what age, but I knew, okay, San Francisco, West Hollywood, I knew as a kid. And it was just no big deal. You know, my mom had gay friends. It wasn't a big deal, you know. So to me, I think, but I only had that experience because I am raised in California. I don't know that if I was raised somewhere else, those same ideas, even coming from family, you know, that were Christian, it was just like, you know, my next door neighbor was gay, you know, and they went to church every Sunday, and I could hear Davon singing in the shower, his little gospel song, you know, and that was it. We had a relative, they called him Uncle Sissy, right? Mm-hmm. And and he answered to it, you know. It just was.
I think it definitely depends on your household, because my family, I just think they were just that conservative
and religious.
And I had a neighbor. My first encounter with someone who was gay was with my neighbor. I had a neighbor next door who was a lesbian, and I really didn't understand what was going on with her, but she would always be with these, what I thought were men that were like crazy, like dressed up hats and suits, like the tailored suits, rolling the nice cars. And I remember one day she was out there with one, and my granny was in the window doing one of her, and I looked out the window like, what's wrong? Right. And I had to look like really hard, and I'm nosy anyway, slightly voyeuristic even as a child. I'm like, what are they doing out there by the car? And I'm like, oh, wait. That's not a guy. That's a girl. She's just dressed like a guy.
Right. And I could be totally naive to it, but I don't know if the gay community even feels like it's still not being embraced completely.
Yeah. Or,
because in my eyes and the people I know, they do. So, but that could be just who I'm around and the people I'm with. I don't know if the gay community feels like they're still the black, or the gay community still feels like they're fighting to be accepted by the black community.
I think our generation is definitely a lot more open, a lot more aware, and a lot more conscientious about things, and not so prejudiced as maybe the generations before us. Mm-hmm.
This is John Wood. There are different layers, I think, to the issue of homosexuality in American society generally, and certainly within the African American society. Depending on where you come from, the background of your family, whether you're more secular or more traditionally religious, that's going to do a lot to shape your outlook. I come from a very liberal, secular background, but I live and have made my life in a much more conservative Christian environment. And for me, I have to admit, and I don't say this to offend anybody, and I hope I don't, but I have to admit that in the way I see the world, I do see the relationship between a man and a woman, and preferably one man and one woman, as being the sort of, I think, bedrock unit upon which all of human history is based. Does that mean I hate gay people? No. You know, I think that, and for those listening who may be more religious themselves or take the Bible in a very strict kind of way, there's no, and this is important, by the way, because the African-American community is highly religious, highly Christian. There's no ambivalence in the Bible as to whether or not homosexuality is, strictly speaking, sinful. At the same time, the Bible also tells us that the fruits of God's Spirit are love, joy, peace, happiness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and that against this there's no law by which you can judge a person. So when I meet a homosexual couple, or if I, you know, gay people, I judge people based off of what's in their hearts, or I try to. You know, I can't understand what it's like to be gay. I really can't. I'm not gay. And so on the one hand, that keeps me from being antagonistic. You know, I've had gay people who've been very close to me in my life. I've had gay people who've been mentors to me, teachers, friends, very close friends, who've confided me in, about it, you know. But for me, I still look at marriage, at least within the scope of my worldview, you know, as being ultimately defined by the relationship between a man or a woman. I wouldn't, it's not the end of the world to me if gay marriage becomes a reality legally, because I think we have the right to define it different ways depending on who we are. But I also feel that there's something to be said for the idea that tolerance should go both ways. While I don't like the idea of religious people trying to impose their values on people of a more secular outlook, I don't like the idea of it working the other way around either. And in the Black community, it's a particular issue. And we just need to love each other and be understanding of our similarities and our commonalities as human beings and respectful of our differences. And I think find a way to get over the hatred so we can remember that we are all family at the end of the day. And if you do believe in God, I do believe that straight or gay, we are all the children of God. Nevertheless.
Oh, this is Chris speaking. I think a lot of this does come from fear. I think in this, basically in this world, in America, or in this world in general, if you are not a white male, then there's a little uncomfortable, something uncomfortable about it.
Yeah.
As Black people, we've dealt with that. With all the hatred bubbling up, it's just because they don't understand, or they think because I'm different than you, that must mean I'm either better than you, or you should be afraid of me because what I might do, or the unknown. I mean, I have family members who are gay, and it's whatever. It's your choice. That's your private life. I don't share my sexual life with you. You don't have to share it with me. I think we are at a point now with a lot of kids growing up and on the show, like House of Lies, seeing younger kids who are basically coming out as in middle school, which is, you know, for some people pretty shocking. Like, how do you know automatically, you know? But I can say, well, how do you know? You know, anybody, right. Like, how do you know when you're ready or what choices you want to make in your life? You know, it just comes happen over time. And I think people should be understanding to it, or at least listen and be open. I mean, it can be a little uncomfortable, I'll admit, you know, but it's better to get to know the person themselves and then just go from there.
And see, I think for some people it's not a choice. That's just how they were born. That's how they are. And I think sometimes the discomfort within the heterosexual paradigm is people, I'm going to say this, I find this more with men than with women. Men think that if they are interacting with another gay man, that man wants them. That man may not be thinking about you at all. But because he's gay, automatically he wants to sleep with you because he's talking to you. And so that's a fear that I find a lot of heterosexual men suffer from, and that's why they choose not to interact with gay men or have a hate, so to speak, about it, a fear. It's really fear.
That is so true, because I had the conversation with a friend the other day, and I was like, that's kind of like an arrogant standpoint, because I don't want to hump you and I'm heterosexual.
Right.
So what makes you think that just because when you walk into the room, like, that's kind of arrogant of you to believe that when you walk into the room, that gay man is going to want your ass. Like,
right.
No, I don't want your ass. So do you want to hump every female that walk past you?
Right.
No, you don't. So how in the hell do you think you just that fly, and it's more men that you're like, oh, I'm not going to be in that room with him.
Right.
Nigga, what?
Like, right. And I'll be honest, T, I've come to a point, people to me who are extremely homophobic, I think they're gay. I'm like, you're homophobic because you don't want anybody to look at you and question you. So that's why you're trying to yeah, throw the scent away from you by having this hate. I can't stand gay people. Yeah. I can't stand these people. No, it's because something's up with you.
That's actually been proven, by the way. They've done experiments where they've taken people who are like virulently opposed to homosexuality, and people who are like really angry about it,
yeah,
know? And they've showed them flashes of homosexual gay imagery, you mm-hmm. know, and they've monitored their physiological reactions to it, and almost without fail they have greater arousal by it. So there's a certain degree of self-hatred in that, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I get it.
I think all this ideology is really quite distracting from like an individual's own life experience. Do you know, like, being categorized as, like, you got to be in the Black community, then you got to be in the gay community, then you got to be in the woman's community, then you got to be in the artist community, then you got to be... It's like, fuck, can I just wake up and breathe? And
yeah.
Just go through my life, have sex who I want to have sex with. I mean, it's like, gay people have, when you're growing up, you have the same aspirations because you're under, like, the imperialist America. So you have the same aspirations and the same dreams as anybody else. So you don't... So you do, when you look for a partner, you do look for someone comes from a good family. Because it's like you want to get in wherever you can fit in. You know how right. black people want to get in wherever you fit in? That's a great point, Chris. This is Ivy speaking, by the way. It's like you want to get in wherever you can fit in. So even amongst the black community, I mean, even amongst the gay community, you have like this, these girls who are dressing like men, and then they're like playing up this role because they want to be accepted. But even the way men dress, it's like you all got to wear the same jeans, you all got to wear the same hats, you all got to, do we all have to do the same goddamn thing? It's just like in general, it's when we make anything an issue of a particular community, we totally take away our own, the potentiality of our own individualism. Do you know what I'm saying? I think it's like if I'm under examination for anything, then you're going to be under examination for anything. If we're not hurting each other, it's really a waste of time.
And
it's
think
a waste of existence.
I'm sorry, Ivy. I think that's one of the reasons why there is an issue of homosexuality within the black community specifically. Because I had a friend tell me that he could understand and in many ways identify with gay men, but he was black. And he was like, I already have that against me. So why would I just add something else on top of it?
Yeah, and then another thing is, like, people gotta stop asking me. Like, so how did you know? It's like, fuck you. I don't even, why am I even discussing this right now? Don't you need something from me right now? Like, I don't know, play your cards right. I don't want to discuss my situation with you, like. I don't feel like you have to all the time. It's a struggle.
It's an unfair burden, but I think for in the black community. Oh, this is John Bird, by the way. In the black community, we were so, you know, I was growing up in L.A. It wasn't really cool to be gay. I'm sorry. I was on the wrong side of the tracks, but you know, gay guys got their butts kicked in my school. It's sad.
Probably by their lover, mostly.
Right.
Right.
You don't know what's going on in people's personal lives, John.
That's
true. I mean, a lot of times we may think we got the gamut on what's going on in our personal circles, and everybody in my circle don't do that shit. The honest, you don't fucking know. I mean, I'm sorry to use all, you don't know. So many people lie, whether you're in a heterosexual relationship or homosexual relationship. Now, I mean, if you have to lie for survival, you have to lie to save your family's name, or you have to lie for all these reasons, you never know when you're going to be getting the truth or if this is a true representation of this person when you meet them. You don't know.
Right.
You never
know. I'm sorry, I'm going to get right back to you. And I think if you have a strong feeling about a thing, like the family and the church that I grew up in, you know, be very adamant and outspoken about what you feel about a certain thing. So if you're telling people, you know, I'm not down with this, they're not going to tell you that they're down with it. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't want your judgment. So somebody might be doing something, you just won't be hip to it.
Totally. Yeah, but if they're asking, like if they're asking you about your sexuality and they actually have an interest, I mean, we are not, as a whole, very exposed to homosexuality. So there's going to be a lot of questions we have. Do homosexuals value monogamy? You know, there's a lot of questions that we have about homosexuals in general because of our lack of exposure, because of how taboo it was in our community. And that's not necessarily the fault of those who have grown up in this socialized environment to where we look at it as taboo, so we don't talk about it, so we don't know anything about it.
Most
so
black
when we
people
do meet somebody
know each
who
other,
is gay,
though, John, I can't speak for the whole black community because I don't know the whole black community.
But you have a
and
better
if it's something
insight
that's been publicized,
than,
if it's something that's been publicized or an image that's been put out there, just like now, if I have an image or if these young kids that have an aspiration, most likely it's got something to do with being a basketball player, being a rapper. It's what people show you. What are the possibilities of what's going on with you to even for you to have an individual thought, okay, I can get into this. Otherwise, you just don't know. You really don't know what the black community is, and you don't know when a person, maybe when you ask a question, you might really want to know just like something like that. But I'm talking about with people who ask me questions like I need to answer them. Like I need to come clean. I need to figure out, I need to answer you because you're not doing the right thing. Right. It's like, okay, oh, I'm sorry. Now I have to explain myself. Well, what happened?
Right.
Or if I date someone who usually dates men, then that person's got to be like, oh, what's going on with you? Is everything okay? That's fucking annoying.
Right.
Period. It's annoying.
But this is Craig. I gotta jump in. First and foremost, I think that it's not that the black community isn't exposed to it. We just don't talk about it. I mean, gay people have been around from the beginning of time. It's time to really have an honest conversation about sexuality. When we start to have an honest conversation about sexuality, then we can get to the root of the rise in HIV in our community. But there are things that we don't discuss as African Americans. We don't talk about mental illness.
Right.
And it's not that it doesn't exist. We just don't discuss it. Mm-hmm. We come from a community that believes that when we discuss it, we're airing out our dirty laundry. And so we'd rather not discuss it because we think we can pray it away. Just like people think that you can pray away being gay. Until we can really have an honest conversation about sexuality. Because for me, being gay...
religion as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we're not willing to do that.
And we're not. For me, being gay is about it being just as indigenous to me as my skin color. It's not something that you just choose to do. Everybody has a different process. Some people struggle with their sexuality because they were molested. Some people struggle because they were raped. I was never molested. I was never raped. It was just something that I always knew. And what bothers me in a lot of conversations about this, not necessarily here, but what bothers me about this is Black people think that we owe you an
explanation for being
and we don't. I don't ask you if you're heterosexual. I don't need you asking me if I'm gay. It's irrelevant. And so, and then to come back to your point about whether or not homosexuals believe in monogamy. Do straight people believe in monogamy? You know, so, I mean, the question is...
I don't think that there's a negative connotation with monogamy or polygamy. My question is, do you carry the same values. Moral values
why wouldn't
across...
We?
Because,
why wouldn't we?
Why are we even discussing...
You see what I'm saying?
It's not about, why do you need John? To know? If,
no, why are we even discussing morals when earlier you were talking about... Well, in another podcast, you were talking about... does love and sex have to go together? I mean, like,
right,
why does, like...
I'm not saying that I'm not saying that...
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you're a gay person, why do you have to go off the checklist to see if you have any heterosexual tendencies?
Well, I don't think monogamy is necessarily a heterosexual
tendency.
But are
you not... I mean, why are you saying it?
Because it's...
Like, what was the intention behind it to say this person is what? Normal? More normal or what?
And I think this is the major problem we have in the Black community and politically across the board. We make some subjects so taboo that if anybody is in any type of quest to find any type of information or get any type of enlightenment into anything, it's looked at as political incorrectness. We need to let that shit go. You know, we need to rise above these bigotries that are based on our religious understandings. We need to let all that shit go, and let's have a conversation about some shit. Why is it that I feel vilified for wanting to know about a culture that I am not?
Because
this is
Craig again. But see, like earlier you said, and I'm not vilifying you. I'm just trying to give you my point of view. Earlier you said something about, you know, it... From where you grew up in L.A., it wasn't cool to be gay. Well, it wasn't always cool to be Black. And depending on where you are in the world, it still isn't cool to be Black.
Right, and it's
in the eyes of white folks.
It was a bad thing.
But my point is the same approach that white people or people other that are non-Black who approach us with ignorance, it's the same type of ignorance that heterosexual people come to gay people with.
But
so
the reason they're asking questions is to abridge that
ignorance.
But
it's not about asking questions. And sometimes white people come with these questions, but they really aren't questions. They're decisions that they've already made.
But it's
not a typical question,
moment.
Dude. It's not like,
it's
hey, can you
moment.
Tell me where the freeway is? It's not the same type of question, you know what I mean?
Penis?
People don't just come up to you and be like...
What'd you say?
But I think that why are questions taboo?
No.
We don't want to stay in ignorance. I agree with you, and I think the approach can be a little insensitive at times.
Well, I think I understand where John is coming from. I think I understand where he was coming from before. I mean, and Craig, and everybody here knows that there's a strong urge on the part of the Black community traditionally, and to this day, certainly, to sweep homosexuality under the rug. And because of that, it's not exposed to every... Now, obviously, if you know somebody personally, or if you are gay, or if you have some more direct connection to it. But remember, most people are not gay. Many more than will admit are gay.
Right.
But on the whole, no, most people are not gay, and consequently, most people don't know anything about gay people.
Most people aren't admitting that they're gay.
Can I get the number to most people? Because I could use some support right now from those most people.
Yeah.
Like, who are most people? What do they look like?
But
most people look like you and me. It's got nothing to do with...
Okay, well, then I'm gay.
This is Craig again. And see, for me, it's the problem that I have in these conversations, too. There's always usually... this thing of, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that, as if all heterosexual people are in sync with what the Bible says. So even if we're going to discuss the whole homosexual thing and whether or not it's a sin, because I don't believe that it is. I believe that sex is a sin, and how sex is used, that's whether you're gay or you're straight. But
well, look, I don't know if you're responding directly to what I said. The reason I put it in that context is just because the African American community is the most religious community in the country, and so it is important.
Needed to be.
How did African Americans first get into contact with their own religion? And I'm just this is another thing. We're making an assumption that Black people are religious in the sense of Christians. It's like, have you ever been to Brazil? I mean, a lot of people are. They're very Christian. But then there's a huge population who is non-Christian. There's a huge African population who's Muslim. It's like, we are so much more diverse, and I think that's the same issues that we have with the media and in the way, if we allow ourselves to be this group and this community, I'm not saying we shouldn't support each other when the support needs to be there against any kind of bigotry, but when it comes to just in our own, haven't we been through enough to be always categorized and have to keep up with the Joneses and what are you doing over there? It's like, don't you have a life?
Well, nobody's denying or speaking against diversity. It's just
you're totally speaking against diversity.
No, I'm not speaking against diversity. I'm saying that it is a statistical fact that the African American community is overwhelming.
You don't even know where statistics.
I don't think we can even use religion.
Where'd you get the word
to defend it? Because
you take a survey of 10 people, 7 people answer one way, and 3 people answer.
You
the
must
other
learn
way.
From an institution what. What the word, even most of the words that even come out of your mouth came from an institution. You came to this earth, and because of that, we're just saying
about other cultures. And I think homosexuality is a culture that we are not, we don't, I'm speaking personally. I did not grow up knowing a lot about homosexuality.
And that's why. If most people were gay, it wouldn't be a problem to be gay.
You said most people is gay. You said, look.
People are diverse. You're absolutely right. We are different. We come from different places. That doesn't mean that there's some trends that are more dominant than others. If I told you that statistics... Right. Well, look.
No, because you're gonna have to read the Bible first and foremost, as a group.
We need to let go of Christianity if we're going to be accepting of homosexuality.
But that's not true.
The thing is, if you get rid of religion, you can do that for anything.
Exactly.
Religion does not want to talk about sex.
Right.
Exactly. Like.
So what? No. What? Yes. What happens? If a 14-year-old daughter comes to the church pregnant.
She's going to be ostracized.
Like 3 or 4 of them. Like, you see a few of your church members' kids who are pregnant. Are we actually going to have one issue? Well, can we talk about this? No.
No.
They don't, a lot of churches do not want to talk about sex. That's a problem.
Right.
And that, you know, talking about homosexuality.
Is a problem,
is
dude.
The
Bible
doesn't shy away from it.
You're talking
but
about,
I don't
no,
think
the Bible may not shy away
about
from
the Bible.
The actual church, yeah. The church, the person
the,
up there
right,
talking
the
don't want to talk about it.
And I don't think it's fair to even use the Bible to have this conversation. Because when you look at us as a whole, as Black people, we claim that Christian, and then we turn right back around and we judge people all day, every single day.
And then to talk about fornicating and adultery and all of those things that heterosexual people participate in,
but then
all of a sudden...
That man participates
in.
It does,
but
right.
You focusing,
you
and I don't mean you per se,
no,
but
I mean
but that's
people focus on
homosexuality being
right,
because
you're fornicating and you're having affairs and you're married and all this other
not
stuff.
Not to mention,
so
and I think they say
commandments, dude. It's
not
one of,
not.
No, wait, this is the thing that gets 100%. Me, because I feel like common sense is kind of like lost on a lot of different groups, whether they be gay or Black or whatever. Just common sense.
Or Christian.
No, like if you were looking at any text, in any history text, it just the thing, the part in the Bible when I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna look at the Bible to find this part where I'm fucked up in the world, right? Because as a child, and we get back to this praying the shit out of you. Mm-hmm. When I was 6 years old, guys, I used to pray that I could be straight from until the point that I was, until I was 15. From 6 to 15, I prayed about it. Like, sincerely. Like, really prayed about it. Like, God, please make me a boy. God, please make me a boy. Please be. And hoping that the next day, because I come from a family of, my grandmother had 13 children. I have a huge family. My grandmother and my grandfather, both from Mississippi, my family, like, came down on me hard when that situation happens. Because your family thinks that you're going to go out in the world and get tortured. And from their experience and the Black people's experience, that's their pain. They already have had the experience. And people say, oh, white people brought gay people, brought the gayness into the Black society. It's because they didn't feel like they had a care in the world. They didn't have anything against them at the time. right? But black people have already had this thing against them. Like, we don't need another thing against us. So you can't fucking go out there and do that. Because we need to be just as good as everybody else. It's like kind of retarded. It doesn't even say in the text, do not do this. If you're going to use the Bible, that little part of it, that is the stupidest shit ever. That was just
pretty overwhelming. If you get raped in jail, it's pretty clean cut.
No,
but the Bible's perspective on a lot of things are pretty clean cut.
I mean, look, I'm not trying to beat you up about this. But well, in Leviticus it says that homosexuality is an abomination. The second chapter of Romans, Paul talks about homosexuality as being sin.
I'm not
quoting that just to say that therefore you are wrong. I'm just saying that when you say that the Bible doesn't say that, no, the Bible does say that. Now, there may be different ways to interpret different things that the Bible says to where you can put in a different perspective. That's up to the individual, but it's just factually incorrect. If we had a Bible here, I could show you the verse. It does say homosexuality.
You know, for me, this is Craig. I don't get into conversations about the Bible and what it says.
No, I'm just correcting you.
Because, see, at one point, the Bible was also used to justify slavery. But my point is, my connection to God is my conscience, and it's my instinct. And I just feel like life is so difficult for each of us as individuals. Focus on your life. You focus on yours. I'll focus on mine. You know, and it's like we get so wrapped up in what other people are doing. And again, instead of people focusing on whether or not the Bible is saying that it's right or wrong to be gay, focus on the text that applies to your life and to your life instead of worrying about what I'm doing, which Ivy is doing, and everybody else.
I agree, but my point
John,
is that
is it not at the end of the day, is it fear that one day you might have to deal with that in your own particular household? I mean, or
I think it's everybody's fear. Let's all speak completely honestly here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm straight, right?
No. You asked me. I didn't know. So,
right.
my point is this: 50-50 choice.
I would love. I would love for that to be a commonality that I share with my son, because I love to have a billion different commonalities with my son. So we have a connection.
Right.
Because I just don't know much about the homosexual community. Yeah. And that would be a disconnect between me and my son if he were to be gay.
Right.
Not because I think, oh, you're a horrible person or you're sinful or anything like that. It's just that's something I'd like to have in common with my son. I like to talk about chicks when he's into them, you know? So it's one of those situations. But my point is that I think that the black community in general is going to be extremely homophobic until we can let go of our religious bigotries and ideologies. Until we let go of that stuff, we're never gonna accept homosexuals into the black community.
And that's funny,
because I am stuck on that book. We will never accept you as full parts of the black community. Period.
Until we do something great.
Okay, but this is Triana.
Right. But what's so funny is that we don't bring up the Bible until we talk about homosexuality. I mean, we've had podcasts and we've talked about getting freaky after dark with your husband, without your husband, having multiple women, wanting to sleep with a slut. And nobody brings up the Bible when we talk about those things. But the moment we start talking about homosexuality, our quickest defense, and I'm a straight woman, but it really is, and I don't understand why everybody jumps right into the Bible when I can jump right into your life last year and tell you what you was doing that the Bible would condemn as well. And it's horrible that we wave our Christian flags when we talk about homosexuality.
And it's also because homosexuals always say, there's nothing I can do about it. So from a Christian perspective, that's
what
saying...
What can you do about being black?
My point is
what can you
this?
Do about being black?
My point is
she
that
prayed for years to be born and to no longer
point,
be gay.
My,
I did the same
my
thing.
Point,
I
agree with you. I agree
and John,
with
I
that
want to
statement.
Tell you now that there was nothing that I could do.
Right, but you know what that says to a you know what that says to a Christian.
What? It didn't deliver to
you
me.
Know what
you
know that says to a Christian.
The Christian's going to tell me to keep on praying. And you know what I'm going to tell
He's
them?
He's going to say that you have no hope for salvation because there's nothing you can do about your sinful nature.
I think this is Triana. I think both sides has been like somewhat misrepresented, because I am a Christian, but at the same time, I don't necessarily, like, for me, being gay is not something that I would do. That's just not me. I'm not, you know, that's just it. But at the same time, I'm not going to condemn somebody for it, because I could easily be on a quick, I can easily be on a quick, slow fall to hell, just, you know, for any other thing, for stealing a fucking penny, you know, or even for cussing. But like I'm saying, 20s. But exactly. But like I'm saying, I'm not going to turn around and condemn my brother or my sister just because they don't necessarily have the same religious views as me. Jesus is not, if you're a Christian, Jesus is not going to judge you by how many works you did, how many laws you kept. He's going to judge you by how good your heart was and how you treated your fellow man. If you were willing to die for that person or lay down your life for anybody else just because you simply loved who they were as their soul, despite their sins, that's what Jesus did for you. So why can't you do that for somebody else?
Bible, but I don't think that's necessarily
but that's the whole point that most Christians miss and why we are constantly misrepresented.
Let me tell you about it. Oh, yeah. I want to tell you about it. Let me tell you, I've been gone so long. Just want to sing my song. I know you've been here, hearing a lot of things. Me. I know. I've heard it.
Turn it on to
This is what I'm gonna do. Yeah.
Hey, what you gonna do?
I'm gonna
hold on to my pride. I'm gonna stick to my guns, yeah. I'm gonna put my finger on the trigger, I'm gonna pull it, and then we gon' see what the deal. I'm for real. I just wanna put it on the line.
If you like what you're hearing so far, make sure you like us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine and follow us on Twitter at Black Is Online. Now, back to the show.
Is more susceptible to HIV than the single woman, because a single woman having sex with one partner or multiple partners is more likely to wear a condom than a woman who is married to her husband. And if her husband is stepping out with another woman, another man, whomever, that possibility of him bringing something home, HIV being one of those things, is greater and giving it to her than any single woman who was practicing safe sex. So we're all at risk.
Look, in my mind,
and that's what the
I've
conversation
never...
should be around.
Yeah.
Because the conversation around whether it's right or wrong isn't doing nothing for us.
No,
because
we've been having that conversation forever. And nobody
like, that's
here...
That's why I'm like, isn't it outdated? Like,
yeah, no earthly person can ever answer that question about right or wrong. The question is now, how do we prevent ourselves from being infected with this disease? We need to stop putting up these boundaries and these borders and places... Because granted, everybody judges, but to super judge a person because they do something different from you and try to base it on an ancient text, to me, it's pointless, because it's not going to change anything. It's not going to change the way the world is. It's not going to change what's happening in the world right now. The question is, how do we prevent this disease from affecting all of us? How do we prevent ourselves and our children from having to deal with this disease? You know, people want to get real comfortable now because Magic Johnson said he had it 20 years ago and he's still looking like beefcake and is not dead somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's not because he bought a cure. He still has it. You know what I'm saying? The science and the medicine behind it has gotten more sophisticated, but this is still something that we have to battle with. And we have young folks right now that are having sex all kinds of ways, not thinking about being protected, right. Not thinking about HIV, because in their minds, they're young, they're going to live forever. So how do we deal with taking on preventative measures with dealing with this disease? That's really, to me, what should be the focus.
Yeah, well, I...
Not trying to say...
I,
satisfy people's curiosity about homosexuality. You want to learn what it is? Get you a gay friend.
But why are we associating HIV with homosexuality? Well, even though we need to talk about sex and, you know.
You're right.
But it always goes back to that.
You're right.
So why does that, why is it all?
Yeah,
But the thing is, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. The reality of the fact is the society we live in is going to couple one with the other, whether it be right or not. It's just how it's been they've attached HIV to homosexuals and people who have drug addictions. Been the primary two populations that we've been taught. That's where that disease is spread.
Yeah, I think
true, but that's how it's been.
I definitely think we can start to get past that. I for one have never coupled. I've never seen HIV and homosexuality as being synonymous. I know some people do, but I like to think that we could at least get past that one, because there are far too many straight people with AIDS, and that's just clear to people now. And like Craig mentioned, the CDC said that it's being spread primarily through heterosexual activity. Right. Now. So you know that's
and not synonymous, but related.
I understand that's essentially the cause of it, people's minds. But I'd like to tell a little story if you guys don't mind. I'll try not to be long winded. But when I was 12 years old, I had a friend, and he was a family friend. He was a little bit younger than me, and we got pretty close pretty quickly. What are y'all laughing at? I ain't even got to the bunch of
them. Because come on, you know where we could be going with this.
Whatever. No. I mean, he was a good friend of mine. Our families were close. And anyway, so I noticed something about him pretty quickly, and it didn't click in my mind. I noticed he was a very affectionate guy. I mean, a very affectionate guy, you know?
Can we end the story?
We would ride back and forth to amusement parks and whatnot, do things. And he'd always fall asleep on my shoulder. He'd always be hugging me. I didn't think of anything of it. Then one day we're waiting in line to go on a roller coaster or something. I think it's my birthday. And he says, John, I got to tell you something, but I don't know how to tell you. And I could tell you had something on his mind. I was like, well, tell me, man. You can tell me anything. We're buddies. And he's like, well, I got a problem, but it's a three-letter word. I was like, three-letter word? Come on, I'm 12 years old, and I'm just as sheltered as can be. So, yeah. I'm like, well, I can't figure it out, man. You got to give me another clue. And he's like, well, three-letter word, and it starts with a G. And I'm still thinking, like, three-letter word, it starts with a G. And then it kind of clicked. I thought about it. I was like, nah, that ain't what it is. I don't know too many three-letter words to start with G. I was like, God? And he was like, God, right? No. Yeah. I said to him, I said, God? And he said, no. He said, well, sort of, you know? And when he said sort of, I was like, you're gay, you know? And he's like, I knew you'd hate me. Yeah. And I was like, no, it's not like that. Yeah. I was like, no, dude, you're my friend, you know? And he's like, really? I was like, yeah. He's like, you're not mad at me? I was like, no. It's like, John, thank you. And he just gives me this big hug. And I'm already feeling a little awkward. He's like, oh, now I know why he's so touchy, you know? And anyway, let's go. I mean, he's like, are you sure?
right, because heterosexual people aren't affectionate.
Man, get off me, man. What are you, gay? Don't be hugging me. I know my grandmother died. Don't hug me.
Well, with heterosexual guys, the physical affection doesn't usually drift below a certain point. You know, that's probably the qualitative difference. And then we were like, yo, he was like, so are you sure you're not? I was like, no. He was like, not even a little. I was like, no. No. But I love you, though.
Couldn't help himself.
It's the finger wave.
Yeah. No, look, my point in telling the story is that what we need, we really do need to be honest with each other, and we need to be understanding of each other, you know? Honestly, there's certain differences that people have between them that just are never going to be solved in a day. Life is rough, you know?
Man, would you please stop speaking these rhetorics? It's just like the reason gay people have problems is from the same people who say things that life is tough and never
this. What the hell are you talking about? I'm not speaking.
I'm just telling you, don't say life is rough. I'm also an optimist. I'm a gay optimist. I have a problem with things like that.
I'm not even talking about what you're talking about. So I'm not even sure what.
Just don't ever say never.
I'm not even really sure what you're talking about.
I'm talking about don't say never. Don't say never.
Listen to my point, and then if you want to criticize it, you can. Don't criticize my point before you make it. Well, it was a story leading to a point. That's
a lot of airtime. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, we run long at Black Is. That's okay. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if I had been judgmental towards my friend, he never would have been honest enough with me or comfortable enough with me to reveal who he was, and we couldn't have had a real friendship. You know,
which goes to the point why there's so many men who are on the down low, because people say, absolutely. Well, come on out, be honest. Men say it all the time. Well, I just rather know where we stand.
Well, I'm not talking. You know, I'm really addressing this more to heterosexual people who might feel a tendency to put forward, I think, very aggressively hostile attitude towards. Even if you do have a difference of a different point of view, whatever your point of view about it is, you still need to love people enough to not judge them and to say, look, whatever your tendency is, I know you are who you are and I am who I am. And if we can't love each other in spite of that, there's no hope for humanity at that point, if you can't. But if you can, and I think we can, then we should do that. I'm talking to the straight people and the religious people particularly, you know? Because that honestly is what Jesus wants. I'm not saying that to give anybody some dolled up vision of Christianity. I don't really give a shit what you think about my religious beliefs either. But I will say, I will make the point. I will say that my religion counts for nothing if it doesn't lead me to be a moral person. And I think that for anybody to whom their religion does not lead them to be that way, then I understand where John Byrd is coming from with that. But it is my opinion, and I think Tori would probably agree with me at least, that the true spirit of what the Bible teaches, whether you believe the Bible is perfect or not, the heart of what Jesus talked about is to be understanding and loving towards others and to not judge. The Bible says that a million times too. And it's our own personal struggles, how we rectify and reconcile certain things in it. But that's what you want to focus on.
But I think that's an application that goes across life. What bothers me is that we have to like pet each other and get each other warm and fuzzy enough to have the conversation about homosexuality. That goes across the board. Like, don't rock me to sleep to make me understand homosexuality. Like, if that's the rule, that's the rule that applies to everything in life, because we've got some issues beyond homosexuality that we still turn our nose up to as a Christian, you know, as Black people. You know, if you grew up on the wrong side of the tracks, I got a problem with you. You know, if you're light skin or dark skin, I got a problem with you. You know, if you have multiple baby daddies, they're shined, you know, they look down upon in the church too. Those old sisters ain't necessarily welcoming you in with all open arms. So I think we got to get past talking ourselves through accepting homosexuality. Like, talk yourself through living in life. Because right. At the end of the day, homosexuality is homosexuality. It's not going anywhere, and that's all it is. That's a small fraction of who these two individuals are, three individuals.
It's the reason by, it's the cause for them to be discriminated against. And my thing is this, I think that
what's
the problem,
the cause for them to be discriminated against?
I think their sexuality is what's being used against them. So my point is this, that I think a lot of the problem we have is trying to get people to accept your homosexuality as not sinful or not this or okay. That's not the point. The point is that homosexuals should have the right to make whatever decision they want to make. They should have the right to be married. They should have the right to do everything that anybody else should do, whether you agree with their lifestyle or not. Stop trying to get people to understand. It's like my father once said a long time ago, you have to stop trying to get white people to accept you as a Black person and fight to get them out of the position to where their decisions impact you directly. So the point is, whether you agree with homosexuality or not, you still should believe that they have the right to make that decision. Even biblically, from a biblical perspective, God and Jesus and anybody else in the Bible adamantly spoke against homosexuality, but they also said that everybody had the right to make a decision, whether it be a good or bad decision. Everybody has the right to make that decision. You can't mandate morality, because then it takes away the free will that, biblically speaking, God wants you to have.
Does it show? Take it slow.
Yeah.
This is a mystery to me. It's not mystifying. Oh, what a surprise. How great thou art.
Yeah.
So you look at it this way. Cause this is a strange way.
cause it's amazing. Cause I ain't crazy. Cause I'm